Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
This podcast is brought to you by Men's T Clinic. Men's T Clinic is the team I trust with my total wellness optimization, and so should you. Five DFW locations with North Frisco, Eldorado Parkway at Dallas North Tollway now open. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-T or visit mensteclinic.com.
KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. We're live from Buffalo Wild Wings in Fort Worth off of 5908 Quebec Street. If you want to come and see us, it is also a shout out Friday, 877-881-1053. And Mike is most excited because the Cronuts are indeed.
Oh my gosh. Holy cow, man.
I've never seen anything like this. Are these tricked up Cronuts?
Holy moly. These are fancy.
They took Cronuts to another level with this one. Wow.
You know what I like?
Oh my.
Out here is Buffalo Wild Wings usually opens at 11. It's just now 10, and people are walking in, and they're like, how are there already more than a dozen people here?
And
like,
what's crazy, too, is they're all drinking non-alcoholic beverages right now, too. That's what's really cool.
I don't know if that pink number right there is a non-alcoholic beverage. That is.
That's a Shirley Temple.
Is it? Oh, well, that amber-colored one right there definitely.
That is apple juice.
Okay, yeah. that is a lot of apple juice. That's just a Red Bull, sir. Okay. All right, well, nobody is drinking not alcoholic
I appreciate the Tolos. They know I'm depressed already.
I'm sorry, Mike.
Mavericks stink.
They do. Yeah.
I don't see how they're getting better. I just went through their schedule. By February 1st, they're still going to be 500.
Man, right before we started, he goes, so January 1st, they'll be 500.
Yeah, I think.
January 3rd, I think we're looking.
Yeah, I think we're looking at about a 40-win team this year. A bunch of fart knockers.
It's only 12 games, Mike. We can turn this around.
I don't think so.
Okay.
I think they're going to turn it around. I think there'll be times where they're a couple games above 500, at times, you know, a couple under 500. I look at their schedule. They don't want to play basketball.
But you felt that way last year, right? Didn't you feel like we were in the – it was bad. That's the reason I'm kind of wary of it, is because last year I was like, man, they don't look good at anything right now. And this year is kind of the same thing. I don't know, man. Kid has a weird way of approaching this thing. But they do need to get their act together if they want to be higher up in the standings to have some home court advantage, unless that doesn't matter to them.
I'm very conflicted.
It obviously doesn't.
Yes, that feels true. Dying. I'm very conflicted because I feel like I know the phrase that could make Mike feel better, but I don't want to say it.
Let's give something away?
No, you'll probably hear it in a couple hours or so.
We'll see. Take a load off.
I'm telling you what, somebody give me a knife. I'm getting into these Cronuts.
Yeah. Oh, my gosh.
You're going to eat his feelings.
So much better than I thought it could have been when you first started that sentence. I don't know. I got, when somebody defiantly says, "Give me a knife," like, I got nervous. All right, if you can go ahead.
We also have a Tolo celebrating her birthday with us today. I just wanted to point that out.
Yay!
21 today.
For a present, I got you a Frank Thomas jersey. Nice. No, I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding.
I think she's been to our last three.
Yeah.
I believe that is correct.
Awesome. Three for three.
All right. I'm going to play cut number one, and I know
Unlike the Mavs shooting corner threes.
It's going to be hard to come up with a lot of good answers for this. Go ahead and fire off cut number one for me, if you can, please.
Second and goal for the Texans. Nixon was on the move. He's on his way to the end zone. Touchdown, Houston. Mixon.
So I want to run this down. Which Texans players scare you? And then perhaps, do you think there's an area where the Cowboys hold any advantage? I know that last one is going to be a little bit tough. I did come up with one thing that could be, I don't know. Yeah, kicker. Kicker's a good answer. I came up with one other thing that doesn't necessarily mean it will benefit us, but hopefully we won't get blown out of the water as much. The Texans have not scored a touchdown in the second half in four straight games.
Let's go.
So the Cowboys don't like to score touchdowns in the second half either, especially not in the third quarter. So maybe we won't get run out on in the second half. And if you're like, that's not very encouraging, that's probably the best I can do for you right now.
Well, I think that, I mean, if it's late, the Cowboys don't have Dak anymore, so they're not going to be coming back like that, that's for sure. Yeah.
That is true.
But, you know, the Cowboys get off to a hot start three or four drives in, and they usually end up kicking a field goal.
Hold on. Is that a hot start if you kick a field goal on your third or fourth drive?
For them, yeah. For any other team, it's probably they've been slowed down just a little bit.
All right.
For them, it's okay.
Okay.
It'll work out.
I guess that's positive.
As far as, like, any advantages, the only two places – I have two places and that's it. Like, that is completely it. The things that concern Texans fans, this is what I know. If CeeDee Lamb and Cooper Rush establish anything in the middle of or to start the game and throughout the game, and if Micah Parsons goes off, they are actually concerned about Micah Parsons, his ability to get pressure and the way that C.J. Stroud has struggled with a lot of the pressure this year because that offensive line had some ineptitudes at times. That's the two things that they're really concerned about. Other than that, they think that you put it on paper and it lines up easy for the Texans against the Cowboys right now.
Yeah, look, with the imminent return of Nico Collins, obviously Joe Mixon has been a workhorse for them. Not always the most efficient, but he has been a workhorse for them this season. And C.J. Stroud is still C.J. Stroud. I know he has had his own set of struggles and looked very human at times over the last month, kind of like Jaden Daniels last night. But those are still things that I think you can lean back on the Texans. And I'm like, I still fear Stroud, Mixon, Collins. There's still a bunch offensively, especially.
Yeah, Mixon, he hasn't been gangbusters, but he's been good. He's been exactly what they needed offensively because they lost they lost Singletary, and I believe Damian Pierce wasn't really growing into what they expected him to be. And Mixon was really looking for something once he left Cincinnati because he felt really hurt by what they did. So he felt like he found the right team. What he does out of the backfield as a receiver, as well as like a safety blanket, a security blanket for C.J. Stroud, that's something the Cowboys struggle with. Look, man, we can get everything else, but once it goes off grid, we don't know what to do. This team does not have great instincts once that happens. So I would say Mixon is a big concern for me. But wasn't Saquon Barkley a bigger concern last week, and he just didn't have the big game? Maybe that's because everybody else seemed to, and they weren't concerned about the Cowboys' offense doing anything.
It is a weird dynamic in terms of we got destroyed, but maybe their best player didn't really do that much. Like, that makes me feel actually doubly bad. Hey, their best player didn't dominate, but we still got dominated.
Are you suggesting, then, that this is the Dalton Schultz revenge game? This is his time to be like, all those workouts
you know what?
In front of people, they were doing tours, I'm going to get y'all back finally.
I'm not going to lie. I actually haven't thought about Dalton Schultz in probably like a year, so I kind of forgot that he
I think the offense forgot about him a lot, too.
On that franchise. Is he even still on that team?
Yeah,
I have to admit,
yeah,
I forgot about
three
him.
Three catches for 60 yards.
I have to admit, I forgot that he was on the team.
I don't even know if he has a touchdown this year, though.
Well, clearly we didn't need him. We have our stud second round pick. How many touchdowns does he have this year? Probably a lot, right? Schoonmaker? Doesn't he have a touchdown? Oh, what?
I think he has 0-2.
Are you guys happy that the Cowboys won't ruin your Sunday?
Actually, Mike, yes, but this is sad to say.
Oh, no. Are you not going to watch
it? I don't know. I'm wearing the Dallas Cowboys Christmas sweater courtesy of Miller Lite today. So
by the way, we will also have one of those available during Peace-a-thon.
I had plans no matter what Sunday. Even if the Cowboys were playing, I was going to go to the batting cages with my kid.
What?
Just to go hit baseballs and take out the frustration.
What if
no
they were
7-2? I would absolutely be at home watching the game.
Okay.
And he could
deal
with it. Okay. But yeah, no, I say no matter what. But yeah, no matter. I was like, let's go hit some baseballs instead of whatever football is on. And then it turned out it's a Monday night game. So now they get to spoil my Monday. Or make it great. Who knows?
Yeah.
Depends on what I'm rooting for. If I'm rooting for a top pick in the draft.
I am rooting for a top pick in the draft. And then again, that's where I feel kind of conflicted, kind of defeated a little bit. Because if the Cowboys win, you're like, in theory, that's great. But then at 4-6, do I think they're about to make a run to the playoffs? Not really. And instead, I'm like, did you just drop yourself from, I don't know, the 6th pick in the draft to the 9th pick in the draft, or whatever the makeup might be? So I don't think I can root against the Cowboys, at least not yet. But I think I've moved into that category with you where I'm like, if they lose, maybe not so bad.
Yeah. Somebody just texted in and said they're scared of Tank Dell. He hasn't had a great season. He had a really good game against the Jets. He had nine targets, 6 catches, 126 yards. But he only has, what, 2 touchdowns on the season. However, he is a Devontae Smith-type guy who can slip into some cracks that we were like, oh, crap, he got behind us. We didn't expect that to happen. And so Tank Dell can definitely be one of those guys that exposes the Kalen Carsons or whoever else is the second option out there if they're trying to lock down Nico Collins if he's out on the field.
We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. We're live from Buffalo Wild Wings in Fort Worth.
We already have teens amount of people here.
Yes.
It's filling up here, dude. It's filling up.
We do. So if you're like, hold on, are they even open yet? That's not what my map app says. They are open. They are serving food. They are definitely serving non-alcoholic beverages,
exactly right.
If you're interested.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then it is a shout-out Friday from the 214. Shout-out to my wife, Kayla. We're in the car driving to San Antonio listening. Shout-out to you, Kayla. Hopefully we are winning you over. Coming up next, how about some NFL overreaction or reality right here on The Fan?
Third and goal. Jackson running around. Little jump pass, touchdown. Bateman.
NFL overreaction or reality is what we're going to do here as we are live from Buffalo Wild Wings.
This holiday, BMW has reunited 3 members of the family at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW. The ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
In Fort Worth off of Quebec, 877-881-1053. You want to get involved in the conversation on the Frankel and Frankel Injury Attorney text line or the Twitch or the YouTube. My first question for you.
Our friend R.W. Wells has delivered a My Possibilities table to My Possibilities.
He made that?
Piece-a-thon that he
wow.
made. Thank you very much, R.W.
That is awesome.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Now, my question to start it off is, and I feel like this is definitely reality, Lamar Jackson is playing the best football of his career.
Yes.
All right.
That's reality.
Is it the passing?
Yes.
How well he's doing passing that has set everybody over the edge and been like, wow. Because I feel like this whole year has been like in your face, Bobby. 24 passing touchdowns, 2 interceptions.
And Bobby's so dug in, he won't change his mind about it. But the it's the decision-making to go along with the passing. The passing looks comfortable. His feet are set. So many important mechanics of the way he's throwing look right, whereas it just looked like sometimes he'd be slinging from the hip, and you're like, what are you doing, dude?
Yeah.
But the decision-making to go along with it, I think the decision-making is so much easier because of what Derrick Henry adds, though.
All right. NFL overreach.
I agree.
Okay. NFL over.
It's about Lamar Jackson being the best
version
we've ever seen. See how I remembered it?
I appreciate that. I do. NFL overreaction or reality, the New York Giants will get the number one pick in the draft.
Ooh, big game on Thanksgiving for that one.
Jerry that question? Do you want to say, hey, how big is that Thanksgiving game become in terms that number one pick?
Let's wait till we get there.
Okay. All right.
The competitor, sorry, let me pull up Tankathon. Cleveland.
It's not good either way.
New England.
Carolina's still – I know Carolina won, but I feel like they're still
in the mix. If you made me bet on it, I would bet the field over it. Like, I don't think the Giants are by far the worst team.
Yeah.
Right now it has Jacksonville as the number one pick.
Oh, maybe they should take a quarterback. Corey, what do you say?
I know that's a joke, but maybe they should.
Yeah. Yeah, with the way things could line up, they definitely – it could be. I don't know about number one, though. Maybe number two. Maybe the number four.
Okay.
There's a lot of bad teams.
Top five pick.
1 through 11 are really bad teams.
NFL overreaction or reality, the Kansas City Chiefs will go undefeated.
No, no way.
Will they be undefeated after this weekend? The audience says no.
Man, this is tough. Because
it's a 2.5-point spread, I believe. Buffalo by 2.5.
I mean, Patrick Mahomes thrives in those scenarios.
Yeah, and I think Taylor Swift's concert's in Canada right around there. So
what's part
like
of
us?
Canada?
Right
Quebec?
There, right next to wherever, whatever is next to Buffalo. Is it Quebec?
Vancouver?
Know. Yeah.
Toronto. What did we play? Something Ottawa? Yes. Ottawa's not far away from
so
there.
So I think it's going to be a dub.
The Ottawa Lynx. I went to Ottawa.
Okay.
NFL.
We're going to Toronto, too, and Montreal.
Okay, so both not undefeated.
Oh, no, they're going undefeated. They're not undefeated the whole season. They win this weekend.
Okay. Yep. NFL overreaction or reality.
Same with the Cowboys this weekend.
There will be more Texans fans at AT&T Stadium Monday night than there will be Cowboys fans. I don't know if that came across on air. Like, everybody in the Buffalo Wild Wings like, yeah, that's reality.
Yeah, I mean, it's an easy drive, you know? It's real close.
Houston, I guess I am taking a shot at Houston, but I do think this is reality. Houston is Dallas-like with their fan base. I don't feel like, and I'm not talking about Cowboy fans, because there's zillions around the world. I don't feel like
in terms of the apathy sometimes.
Yeah, like, Houston Texans fans, I feel like they would travel like Dallas Maverick fans? Like, I don't know. I'll say 60% Cowboy fans.
Okay.
Yeah, I think it's going to be 60% Texans fans.
Okay. That'd be awesome if it was.
No.
Why
it's not going to change anything. That's why.
NFL overreaction or reality. After what you saw last night, you are sure the Eagles are going to win this division.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure. I'm pretty sure about it. Last night, I don't know what Washington's game plan was. And
turn the ball over.
You know, they asked McCarthy about the Eagles. Was it everything was short? You didn't go downfield very much with against the Eagles. And he said, yeah, that was part of what they were doing. And so I guess that was what happened last night. But Jaden Daniels looked so conservative last night with his approach to putting the ball downfield. It didn't work for him either.
Ooh, this is a good bonus.
December 22nd is the rematch. That's a noon game, and the Cowboys play Sunday night football against Tampa. I think that is going to be one that NBC looks at and goes,
should
we have Philly and Washington on that Sunday night over Tampa and Dallas?
And I think that is a no-brainer. Okay, I got one more Giants question for you because I was curious. NFL overreaction or reality, the Giants should just say screw it and let Daniel Jones start the rest of the season.
Yeah, like, who's their backup? It's not a draft pick, is it?
It is crap. It's not Tommy DeVito.
Warner.
He's third. No, it's somebody really terrible that is their backup. Crap, why can I not remember
it's
that
fine.
Dude's
name? It's fine. It's as long as it's not like a top three round pick. What's the point of like, hey, we need to give this guy time? There,
that was Drew Lock.
Drew Lock. There you go. Somebody really terrible.
Yeah. Who cares?
Yeah, just roll him out there and finish it out. Get your money's worth.
I mean, I know that it was just a little bit of a game, but I know you have confidence in – not confidence. You'd hope to see Trey Lance get better and improve and feel better
hope.
About it.
I would hope.
I watched enough and go, they both aren't
yeah.
it. So, like, I feel like with Drew Lock and Daniel Jones, they're in a Cooper Rush, Trey Lance such a second. So,
all right. Normally we would go to break, but instead – is it right now, Alec?
Yep.
Okay, in just a second. Okay, he's ready right now. Brought to you by Ford and your North Texas Ford dealers. Ford is the best in Texas. Let's talk with the Dallas Cowboys owner and GM, Jerry Jones. Good morning, sir.
Hey, good to be on with you guys. It's a stepped-up day. Got a little different pace to our step. Those fights start at 3 o'clock this afternoon. Going to be a lot of good fights out there today.
And I did want to ask you, I know obviously y'all are getting ready for the Monday night game. Will you be in attendance for the Mike Tyson, Jake Paul extravaganza?
Absolutely. Right at ringside. I will be.
Okay.
I'm excited about it. And those fights actually start at 3 o'clock this afternoon.
Okay. So right
by
after
the way,
our show.
By the way, Netflix specifically didn't want a curtain, so we don't do a curtain out there.
Well played, so, sir.
That's the kind of story. We really are excited about for fighting, really, and the interest that's being exhibited, and the fact that Netflix is doing such a coverage of it, and the fact that we're going to have as many as 70,000 out there. It's real happening. We're real proud of it.
You are probably supposed to say neutral, but I'm curious if you have a rooting interest in the main event. The public sentiment seems to be pretty strongly behind Mike Tyson. What are you thinking about this fight?
Well, I have such a we all have a big part of our lives living around the legend and the actual fighter Mike Tyson. But I know him and have known him for years, and he's really a top person, and it's amazing what happens to him when he gets in the ring. Now he might become something else when he gets in that ring. Mm. But boys, he a nice guy out of the ring, and he's been a real credit for fighting.
When these fights happen, Jerry, whenever you have these kinds of events, how much different is the crowd from a football game to what you see whenever you have these kinds of events go on?
Well, the proximity to the action, and you normally mentally picture right around that ring and within feet of the fighters himself, creates an intimate involvement of the fans there, but I would say that the anticipation, the just two people out there, nothing to hide. It's all you. Whatever happens, you did it or they did it. So I think all of that adds to it. But one of the reasons I really am a big fight fan is it has such a following. In Mexico, and it has such a following by our Hispanic fans. And when we do fights, I get letters just thanking the Cowboys for being involved in the enthusiasm promotion of the fights. But I think it's a great sport, and this is a great way to call attention to it, a modern-day way of bringing it forward. But you know, fighting was such a big part of my father's generation and his generation back in World War II, and all of it has such ground roots in America that it just really is an interesting and good night. I'm so glad the stadium's getting to be involved.
Do you think that you, like, because they put on a show, you know, like that? Yeah. Boxing has always been big at putting on a show. Do you ever take anything from them, from the boxing world, to say, I think we can add that element to the NFL?
Well, I had a great, great coach. I was interviewing him for my master's thesis. Hmm. And I was interviewing him, and he was one of the greatest coaches. I'm going to have deference and not mention his name. But he started off, and he said, you take the fake out of me, there's not much left. Think about that a minute. And this was a great coach. I mean, maybe the greatest of all time. And so it's really not that. It's just that a whole bunch of competing is getting your mind right. A whole bunch of competing is as you see yourself as against an opponent, whether it be team or individual. A whole bunch of stuff is in the mind. And that I appreciate that, because I can imagine what fighters have to do to get themselves ready to step out there and get hit.
Now, one of the things we love about talking with you, Jerry, is not just being able to talk boxing and Cowboys, but general NFL stuff. And I know this has kind of been building for a while. Roger Goodell said he would like to see an expansion to 18 games within the next 5 years. I would love to get your thoughts about whether or not that's feasible and anything else you have on the topic.
Well, first of all, I'm a 18-game proponent. I think that it's serves the game in a great way. It's a de-emphasis off the game part of preseason. Going with that would cut those two games off of preseason. So you'd just have two games in preseason, and then the rest of it would be full season games. with the nature of the game, the interest in the game. Nothing wrong with teams early playing themselves into top form and those games counting. And so I'm for it. It creates a really good expansion of the visibility of our game. In other words, there'd be more people that eyeball football. I'm all for that. I think this is one of the big reasons that we have the interest in NFL today is it's been so accessible, free television, if you will, and it's been the most accessible. And I think that alone has created interest in the game.
In this scenario, would you anticipate two regular season buys per team?
Well, I don't know that detail. And I mean, I don't know how that would end up and resolve, but that's getting in the weeds a little bit on it. But it's something that is logical to think, but let's just see how that might work.
Yeah, Kevin loves getting in the weeds on those details.
I do.
Sure. He's always been that kind of guy.
Hey, and Kevin, to your defense, I love the weeds too. I do. I love the detail. And first of all, when it's nuanced, and that's a big deal. You're talking about another buy, another break in the middle to heal up a little bit and get the teams get their feet up under them and get to go again. So. That's a big issue, and I'm all for it. But I love the details. The thing that I love football so much that I've always thought that those nuances, not just the pass, not just the block, but the nuances of what's behind that, any time that we can project that out to our fans, everybody's a winner. To remind you, we're the first team to ever have a camera in the draft room. And, of course, the draft has turned out to be one of the most viewed events that we have in the NFL. But it was so thought that, man, that's so sanctimonious in there. And the discussions can get so sensitive and so personal. That's just not going to work. Well, it does work, and it works fabulous. And those details are what creates more interest in the game.
Plus, if you add another bye, that's an extra week on the TV schedule the next time those contracts come up. You know what I'm saying?
I do. Hey, I just thought of a story. I'm not trying to change the subject at all, but I just thought of one. It's very appropriate with this fight that we got here today and tonight with it. But when Stephen was about 16, I was all trying figuring out ways to try to, as a young, for a dad, to make him something that I was not. If you see, every father I've ever met lives what he wanted to be through his son or through that competition. So I was backing a fighter, and his name was Otis Bates. And he was ambidextrous, but he was a hell of a cruiserweight fighter. I mean, a legitimate cruiserweight, big-time fighter. So my friends that I had training him, and I was really the sponsor of him, or one of the sponsors of him. And this was 4 or 5 years before I bought the Cowboys. Well, I said, you know, Steven, it'd toughen Steven up a little bit, and it'd be good for him. He's 16. So I arranged a deal where Steven would spar with him at 16. And this is a Mike Tyson kind of attitude guy. Uh-oh. Well, Steven had his headgear on and ready to go, and I said, now, boys, whatever you do, don't you let that guy get loose on him and hurt him. I said, but it'll be good. Well, Steven walks out there, and the first things he does, he jabs him right on the nose, and they had their headgears on and everything. That guy completely goes crazy, and he starts hitting Steven, and he's hitting him in the shoulders, face, everything. The book turned his headgear completely around on his head where Steven was looking out the hole. Mm. It got hit that hard. Can you picture that? Man, we were running up there. Everybody was trying to get in the ring to stop him. And he just punched him wrong. And of course, the instincts took over. And the fighter got after it and did his deal. Well, I had to, in blood, and Steven still got me to this day and always says, I'll tell. Of course, I'm telling right here and have told. But I said, you got to do one thing. Don't you ever tell your mother. Don't you ever tell your mother that I put you up in that ring with that guy. And, of course, it got out, and I got killed.
Oh, man, you know what? We have Steven on Monday, so we can ask him a little bit of his side of that conversation.
Please, Jerry. Please do. Oh, yeah. Yeah, hit him with it. He's very he's good at it. He's got another perspective on it. By the way, you didn't see old Daddy-O getting his ass up in that ring, but I put old Steven up there.
Got to let him get his experience.
That's typical.
I'm glad, Jerry, that you brought that up, too, though, because I have a – this is a personal question. Every year I think I ask Jerry one personal question, and as of last night, I am certain that I lost my wedding ring. Do you have any advice for me? Should I tell my wife, for one? Also, how do I replace this?
Well, I'd go to where you were and get it if you can. Is that awkward?
Go like where I bought it before or where it was last? Because
no, that's where you left it last night.
Oh, yeah. That's a very long story. I can never get it back. Yeah. So I think I'm just gonna find a new
one. Man, these areas of conversation in life normally lead to awkward spots. Don't bring this stuff up.
Gotcha. All right. Well, I'll get back to this then. The Cowboys tried wide receiver by committee, and we saw a little bit of the running back by committee. What have the Cowboys learned from those experience of doing positions by committee so far?
Well, first of all, let's be real clear. I don't know of anybody that just lines up a team with only one or two receivers. By the very nature of it, there's usually six on the roster, and according to what you do with your tight end count. And then with running back, it's almost, when you look at a roster and where you're going to put your defense, offense, any special team whiz you got. But you normally are dealing with three running backs on a roster. And when they do, they say, you know, this guy will probably do 15 carries. This guy will probably do X carries. I don't know what you want to call that, committee. What do you want to call it? Some guys seem to do better in close when you're in short yardage. Some guys hit those creases better to the outside. Some guys are inside runner better. And so when you say what's different about a committee, it's always been committee. We've had backups when they had the great Emmitt Smith. There was another one. Now, to define that he's your most effective running back right now, yeah, you can do that, just like you can. Lamb is our most effective receiver. I'm not taking issue. I'm just saying these positions, by the very nature, you have a coach for the entire group. So that if all you had was one player out there, you wouldn't need a coach for that one player. And so my point to you is it's always been committee. Now, I understand the implication of what's by committee where you're really trying to split it. But, boy, the nature of a ball game and getting nicked in a ball game. What if you go out there and have a head concussed or those type of things, then, boy, you got to have somebody ready to go. Depth is the thing. And so to be definitive, what he's really saying is Rico is really showing up, and he's doing what we'd always hoped he would do. There wasn't anybody that didn't think Rico was a one heck of a ball carrier. But he's had trouble staying healthy, and really that's been his nemesis. And so that he's healthy, and he's staying healthy. That's a good thing because he's always been one of our top. He runs violently is the word I often hear people describing. He runs violently.
Trey Lance has said that he wants to continue to grow as a Cowboy this season. I'm curious, is there any? What does that look like to you? Like, obviously playing better, but how can you tell if Trey Lance is growing as a player throughout the season, especially if he's not the primary starter?
You'll never be able to tell until you see how he does it in competition, in real games. You can do a lot of work. By the way, mentally, he's one of the top people our coaches have ever been around mentally. And he's got the temperament for that position. He's really outstanding mentally. Work ethic, it's right on par with any of the great ones you've ever seen. Aikman, he's got work ethic. Now, you can get in trouble comparing, but I'm talking work ethic. and the stick to it is, for that, what that means, well, obviously, he's been staying hard and staying focused to try to improve. He probably has more upside because he hasn't played the games in college or otherwise, but he's got a lot of we keep hearing that. It's definitely strong. He's got a very strong arm, very strong arm. He's got a real upside with his size and speed. And so he's legitimate. That's why he was drafted, I think, with the sixth pick or the fifth pick in the whole draft. And so and he works hard. So all of those things you can have success with that, but you got to have the opportunity. I've often said that you may never have seen Dak Prescott, and I'm not taking anything away from Dak Prescott. You may never have seen him had Romo not gotten hurt. And then he goes on the field out there and during the season in several games becomes a factor that caused people to evaluate, look harder, gave embolden him. Now, he'd had a lot more playtime in college. But still, this is how it happens. And so if you get in there, get playtime, do some things right, get your own confidence up, you can take off. But he's talented.
Jerry, changing the topic a little bit, today starts playoff football for high school. And Jason Witten has become one of the best high school coaches in the state of Texas. Do you see him possibly becoming a head coach in the NFL? I know he's just doing high school right now and his kids are in high school. Do you see him as a great, knowledgeable guy that could take what he's doing in high school and take it to the highest level of coaching?
Yes. Without hesitation, yes. He has something you can't draw up. Reminds me a lot of our other tight end who's head coach up there at Detroit right now.
Mm-hmm.
And he's his own words when he talked his parting ways with the team. Boys, it's in the dirt. It's down in the dirt. That's where it is. But Jason is very sophisticated when it comes to understanding football and all the nuances. But more important than anything, he really does understand the physical and the mentality of being physical, that part of it. So without a question, he can become above high school. He can become a coach. He has extraordinary work ethic. And he is absolutely calls on his teammates, or would call on his players as a coach. So yeah, he can be a top coach.
And last thing I got for you, I just want to make sure that we can show you, we do our research here. Was your master's thesis entitled "The Role of Oral Communication in Modern Day Football"? Does that sound correct?
That was it.
There you go.
That was it.
All right.
And, and my coach, who was a really highly, highly respected coach, Frank Brawls of Arkansas, to do my thesis, he got me interviews with the greatest people in football at the time. Now, they weren't necessarily in pro, because the greatest ones were Woody Hayes, were Bear Bryant, were Al Parseghian. Those were the people that I talked to about really about selling in football, and wrote my thesis.
Man, appreciate that insight. Love the stories today. Thank you very much, good sir. Best of luck on Monday,
guys.
And we'll catch you next week.
Let's go. Bye-bye.
There you go, Jerry Jones, right here on 105.3 The Fan. All right,
he's ready to enjoy those fights now.
Yes, he is.
Like, they start at 3.
They start at 3 o'clock.
Do not forget, they start at 3,
So come out to Buffalo Wild Wings in Fort Worth off of Quebec. Hang out with us. And if you want to make your way to AT&T Stadium, you can make it all happen. I know we sort of switched up the break structure right there, but coming up next, let's get some of your shout-outs in. Plus, Joe Mazzulla has even more advice for how to tweak up the NBA Cup. Next on The Fan. KNC Masterpiece back here on 105 through The Fan. We're live at Buffalo Wild Wings in Fort Worth, Lake Worth, if you prefer, off of Quebec. If you want to come see us, that would be fantastic. Now, It is a shout-out Friday, Corey. I got a couple more shout-outs for you. Kevin, my name's Grant. My 29th birthday is on Sunday. Can I get a happy birthday shout-out? Absolutely. Happy birthday to y'all. And then this one is a little different, and it's not from the fan text, but I definitely wanted to throw it out there because I think when people use their power of community like this, it's super cool. So the University of Montana, they lost to Tennessee in college basketball earlier this week. But one of the kids on the team, Money Williams, he told a story, or I guess it's known, that his mom and dad both died in the last year.
Oh, no.
Yeah, and so, like, obviously just crushingly sad. And so the folks at Tennessee, they raised more than $10,000 in a GoFundMe for this kid because they were just, like, really touched. I mean, he played great there, but they were just really touched by his story, and they were like, hey, we want to try to reach out. We want to try to do something. And they raised $10,000 for him in honor of his parents. And I think that's super cool. I know a lot of times in sports we got to talk about, like, hey, this person did this, or this story's not so good, or whatever. But, like, this is just – that's a heartwarming story right there.
Kevin, where do you find stuff like that, man? Is there a heartwarmingstories.com or something like that?
You know what?
Barstool Sports,
Barstool.
It was on Sports Illustrated. It was not on – yeah, Barstool Sports doesn't always have the most heartwarming heartwarming stories.
Sports Illustrated is the place to go. Then.
For kids.
SI Kids.
Okay, Sports Illustrated for kids. I thought that was a lovely thing. And then – what do you think about Joe Mazzulla's latest idea? Now, Joe Mazzulla, the head coach of the Celtics, is maybe the most fascinating person in all of sports. He's definitely the most fascinating person to me in the NBA. So he loves the NBA Cup because he's a huge fan of European soccer. So what he said is not only would he like them to do the NBA Cup, he would like them to have maybe two or three different tournaments happening throughout the season, just like the European clubs do with soccer. And to facilitate that, he would also like players to be able to be loaned to other teams.
I love that idea.
For these cups along the way.
Yeah.
So what do you think about the idea of expanding tournaments? Like, he goes, yeah, you're playing like 35 domestic games and three other cup games. It works for them. We can make it work. What do you think about expanding out for multiple cups as well as player loaning for these tournaments?
I like the idea. I told you the other day, I think that in about 7 or 8 years, I'm going to go, I want one of those cups. I'm a little jealous.
But now you're fine.
But right now, I'm like, okay, let them have their fun.
I want it now. It's the only thing the Mavs might be able to win. It's
like, oh,
so
no.
Fake
cup.
So down right now.
All right. So
does it come with a jock strap?
Oh, my God.
Because that's where Lucas was left in the last seconds of the game.
Here's what I need you guys to do. This is a great question from the 321. I'm on my way to Quebec right now. I had to turn back and get my passport. Do you guys think I'll make it? Yes. Just swing a right on Canuck Boulevard. You'll find us. We're right there at the Buffalo Wild Wings on Quebec. Also, I need you to show up here to cheer Mike up. Somebody brought Cronuts, and that helped, but the depression of the Mavericks' early season struggles has clearly gotten to him.
Yeah.
So if you want to come help cheer Mike up as well, that would be phenomenal.
Well, we have another Maverick fan that he's depressed too.
Yeah.
He brought the Cronuts. He knows. He's like, this team isn't good.
Hey, shout out to Carruthers Candy Company for bringing us some freeze-dried candy. My kids love these peach rings. The last year they brought these out to us. The Skittles are amazing, dude. So good luck with your life.
Okay.
Yeah. You might find that candy's just not good anymore unless it's done like this.
Okay.
Next up, are we talking about Jason Witten being the coach next year?
Jerry just did lay that out for you. He's got a plan, I think.
But
Dan Campbell, he's better than Dan Campbell, too.
And I do like that he made that reference without specifically saying Dan Campbell. I don't know if that will get him around tampering charges or anything like that. But, yeah, I did like that you asked that question and mentioned that. Also, okay, sorry, Jerry, I will settle down. And I definitely didn't mark the thing where you're like, I really like to get in the weeds.
Mm-hmm.
Like, we definitely didn't mark that for later use. From the 940, shout out to my husband. We're here at Buffalo Wild Wings, and he agreed to take off work with me to come here today. Please say hi to embarrass him also.
Hi. How's it going? He's right there. Because she started laughing whenever you said that, so I knew it was them.
Also, Mike gets a shot later for roasting Bobby this morning.
Good job!
Oh, wow.
Right.
Great. Yeah. Not Mike again.
Because you look at this Mike presentation, and you're like, you know what it needs? Alcohol. We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Coming up next, we'll get back on our regular schedule. We will talk with our Dallas Cowboys insider, Mickey Spagnuolo. Plus, if you got some Mike Tyson, Jake Paul predictions, let us know. We'll do it all next right here on The Fan.
Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
For the past three seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a fourth season. But this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.